Welcome to another installment of the Weird Panthers Kid Podcast. I am your host, Shelton Williams, and I don't just have a kind of cool guest here. I have one of the favorite guests on the podcast here, someone who's been on before, made people laugh, the great, the amazing Taj Grant. Say hello to the people.
Oh, what's going on, people? And what's going on, Shelton? So I got to put this out there before we start. This is clearly a big deal because the next time I wanted to come on your podcast, I wanted to talk about, you know, how the Warriors are trash, and how that, you know, cupcake of a guy, whatever his name is, Kevin Durant, whatever, is out in Brooklyn now, right? And whatever, but you know what? Kanye is pretty important. So what we're gonna do? Let's go ahead and save that Warriors talk to our third podcast together. Let's do that.
Exactly. Yeah, that'll work. You know, we'll leave it for the next one. You know, we can't do all the greatness in this podcast. We'll leave it.
Correct.
That.
That's right. We got to spread it out.
You know, and this also makes it to where the audience knows you're going to be back on again. Okay, so that's good. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely, boss. Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
But I'm excited.
Yeah,
so let's get into it, brother.
Let's do it. All right, so we're going to talk about Kanye West. And as you guys know, we've already had a music review where we went through and I talked about the songs I liked, songs I didn't like, okay? You guys all know I think the whole, you know, Clothes on Sunday, You My Chick-fil-A is a little corny, okay? You guys know that already. But we'll save that, and you can go back if you haven't listened to it. Go back to that one, see the songs I like, I don't like, and what I think about the album overall. But today, what me and Taj are going to do, we're going to go into kind of everything surrounding the album, so to speak. So we're not going to do a track-by-track breakdown, but we're going to talk about kind of everything that surrounded the album. So now, Taj, when you first heard, because I know you heard about it, when you first heard that Kanye West was going to be making a gospel album, what was your first reaction? How did you feel about that?
Sure. So I remember this quite vividly, my friend, because truth be told, that was just a couple months ago, I think, when I heard it. But I was scrolling through Facebook just like, you know, any millennial probably would. And that's how I get my news, basically.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the Fox News link that says Kanye West is going to make a gospel album. And I probably would say that initially, man, I had the first reaction just like 70% of the other Americans. I was like, oh, gosh, how is this going to go? Because for the past decade, Kanye has had this persona or this personality that everything is about Kanye because Kanye is about Kanye. And
right.
A lot of things that he has done in his music career and his fashion career and any sort of thing has always been a reflection of who Kanye is and how great he is. He's never been shy. He's never been a shy person or a person isn't, you know, willing to say, hey, I'm one of the best to do it. So when I first heard it, and I first heard the news come out that Kanye was going to make a gospel album, honestly, my first thought was, okay, how is Kanye going to make this about him? You know, that was honestly my first thought. Because, again, for the last 10 years in his music, everything has been about how awesome he is and how he's the best. And he himself has called himself one of the best entertainers of our generation. And quite frankly, my friend, he has sales to prove it. You know, he does have good album sales and music sales, but the idea that, you know, he is someone now all of a sudden is going to make a gospel album, my first initial reaction, if I'm honest with you, is, okay, how is he going to spin this for himself?
Bro, that's classic Kanye, okay? Anyone that knows Kanye West or anyone who has followed Kanye West over the years, it's continuously always been about Kanye. So that's a legitimate fear. And I actually hadn't heard that from people. I'm going to be honest with you. When I first heard it, I wasn't even thinking, and maybe in a way I was thinking the way you're thinking, I was really thinking, like, is this for real? That was my first, like, kind of initiation with, because everything that deals with Kanye, it seems like he's a very impulsive type of guy. He's a very, this is how I feel at the moment, so boom. So I'm like, is this really real? And also, he was dealing with a lot of backlash from different things, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit later. You know, and I'm thinking, is he just using gospel as a shield, you know, from all the stuff other people are saying about? So I was a little bit apprehensive. Like, I was a little bit nervous, a little bit scared, right? But then, if we're going to be honest, you know this to be true, is that there are a lot of Christians who were worrisome about it for legitimate reasons. Well, your reason that you just mentioned is very legitimate, but also, too, I think a lot of times when we first hear about someone, a celebrity making Christian or gospel music, a lot of it tends to think about children or kids or teenagers, where we think about, man, if we really embrace Kanye, you know, music, what if this becomes a bait and switch, right? Where we tell our team, you can listen to Kanye now, and then the next album be something totally not gospel, or, you know what I mean, or something like that. Was that ever like a fear that you maybe had too, like this whole he might do this bait and switch thing, or was that not ever anything you were kind of thinking about?
That had never crossed my mind, if I'm 100% honest with you. That was something that was probably the last thought, you know, that I'd really taken into consideration, because you make a valid point that a lot of people may actually say, okay, well, this is kind of a bait and switch. Okay, now you can listen to Kanye, whatever, and this and that. That's not really something that came into my mind. What came into my mind was, okay, you know, this gospel album, which I think at the time we didn't even know what the title of the album was, at least when I first heard it was going to make it.
No, we didn't know anything yet. Yeah.
Correct. So my idea was, okay, well, what's going to be the idea or the backlash or the story of this? Is this going to be Kanye telling a story about Kanye recognizing that Jesus is good? Or is this going to be an album that actually praises the Lord? You know, and that was one of my first worries, because if it was the first thing that I had mentioned, well, then, I mean, to be honest with you, this is just another rap album. And if it was one of those that's actually going to praise the Lord and actually uplift God or uplift Christ, then I would be thrown for a loop and not know how to necessarily think and how to process that, because again, that just goes against what we have learned about Kanye for the past 10 years.
Exactly. And then also here's something else too, is there has been other, like another rapper recently over the years that also said that they had a kind of a gospel album, and there's a guy named Chance the Rapper, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you, Chance is a, kind of a little bit, you know, not a little bit, he is a lower profile than Kanye West. So it wasn't, didn't really hit a lot of, like, it wasn't, when he said he was going to do it, it didn't have the impact that, you know, Kanye West, when he did it. But if we're going to look at Chance, when he did it, it may have been like gospel inspired, but every song or everything wasn't about Jesus. There was still a lot of profanity. There was still a lot of innuendos and references that we would not, as Christians, embrace as saying this is a gospel album. So another fear I had was he's saying it's a gospel album, but it will just be kind of sprinkled with gospel. Like gospel is like the seasoning on the album, but it's not really gospel. That's something else I was thinking about too, because I was thinking more about how Chance was. So what do you think about kind of that kind of fear that I was thinking about too?
Yeah, that's probably something that I had, not initially, but later on, as the idea of a gospel album gaining more traction. Here's the thing, and you hit it dead on the head. This isn't the first time ever that an entertainer has said, hey, we're going to do at least Christian music or a Christian song or whatever it may be. For those people, sometimes I almost believe that Christians can be a little naive, but let me explain it this way.
True.
It goes not only just on the hip-hop or the R&B side. For those who don't know, I'm a youth pastor here in Tennessee, and I also have a main source of income. I actually work for a tire company called Discount Tire. And Discount Tire here in Tennessee, they play a lot of country music. Not my cup of tea, but whatever. There's a particular song that's gaining a lot of traction. It's really popular right now, called God's Country, and it's made by Blake Shelton. And I'll tell you this. There is absolutely not a thing spiritual about God's Country, the song. But because it's entitled God's Country and everything is about God's country, I'm telling you, you would have thought that song was like in a hymn book, according to certain people. You know what I mean? And that is just the mindset that exists amongst Christianity. Okay, hey, here's a person that says they're going to make some sort of Christian something. We've seen this with Britney Spears. We've seen it with Justin Bieber. Quite frankly, my friend, this is not the first time we've even heard it about Kanye. Do you remember the first song Kanye did got him on the mic? Jesus Walks. That was the first song that he did, and that was before the decade that you and I know as it's all about, yay, this is me, this is who I am. So this isn't the first time, and so the mindset that you started having is 100% true. For me, as the gospel album became more and more rumored and turns out to be true, I'm like, okay, is this a one-and-done type of idea? Is this something, like you said, is just going to be sprinkle up a little bit of gospel and then the regular yay that we've known for the past little bit? Or is this the beginning of a new era? And I was really interested in seeing how that played out.
Exactly. So there's a lot of us that were, as Christians, because this is really, the thing is, and I will talk about the mainstream media and their reaction to this album, but the thing is, if this is supposed to be a gospel album, I was wondering why there wasn't enough media that were asking Christians how they felt. Because if we're going to be honest, if this was a gospel album, then the audience that would really, embrace it or cater to it would be Christians. So I was wondering why the mainstream media didn't ask Christians, like, how did you feel about the album? What did you like about it? You know, did it resonate with you? Did you feel it was authentic? Because them, I feel like that might be not their, I'm going to say not their realm, but maybe it's just not good for you to really talk about it because it just doesn't seem like it would line up. I was wondering why that was never done. I listened to, there's a place on YouTube. It's a hip-hop show called Everyday Struggle. They reviewed the album. They thought it was, terrible. So I'll talk more about that. But I was listening to different people's reactions to the album, and I always wondered, why didn't you just bring a Christian on there or someone that's in that space to talk about how they felt about the album? But anyways, we'll probably talk about that a little bit later. Now, when you actually listen to the music, okay, so we had all the fears that we had, right, going forward, not sure what it was. Oh, and also, actually, before we hear the music, you hear the title now, is Jesus is King.
Right.
Then what was your reaction? Like, wait a minute. Like, whoa.
So this was the beginning of the, how I would call the, transition, right? As in, oh, here's a wall, here's Kanye, everything's about Kanye. And now, I mean, you can't get more bold in your title than Jesus is King, right? So that was a punch in my quote-unquote wall right there, where I was like, all right. So this man literally comes out with his album, right? You see his album cover, you see his graphic art to it, and, there's no picture of him or no semblance of him. It's just a blue graphic design with yellow lettering Jesus is King or white lettering Jesus is King, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we see. And that's literally the message of the particular album that we're dealing with and we're looking at. And I'm here and I'm watching. That is a very bold move, which, by the way, Kanye is not shy of. Kanye is not a person who's very shy of bold moves, a.k.a., he wears MAGA hats, right? It's not something that he's scared to do. If he is set on something, he's always about promoting and being aggressive about it. So I get to thinking, I'm like, okay, is he really about and promoting and being aggressive about what he's saying here? Title goes out, though. But let's be honest. You and I grew up with a very common idiom, a very common saying, never judge a book by its cover.
Exactly.
So what I wanted to do is I wanted to hear it. I wanted to see what was being said. I wanted to see what was being done and see exactly where we were in regards to what we thought, if it was true that this is just all about Kanye, or if this is actually really going to be something that would be honoring and glorifying to Christ.
Exactly. So now you hear Jesus is King. The music mm-hmm. finally drops, because one, it says it's going to drop at midnight. This night didn't drop. So Kanye, you lied. So that's a sin. So you need to work on that. Repent. But anyway, when the album actually dropped and you began mm-hmm. to listen to it, mm-hmm. did any of your fears begin to be erased?
Now, I'm going to have to answer that question with a question. Are you asking me how did I feel about Jesus is King, the music, or how did I feel about Jesus is King, Kanye, the producer of that music?
I will say, how did you feel about the content? I'll say the content of the,
okay.
the lyricism
sure.
and the lyrics and what he was actually, the message he was promoting on each song.
Okay, not a problem. First off, total transparency, today is November 5th. I heard the album yesterday, and it's been out for a couple days. So a couple kids in my youth group heard it before I did, right? Very in tune with pop culture, a lot of them are. They hear Kanye West is dropping a gospel album. They decided to listen to it. They come to me, and they let me know, hey, did you hear Kanye's album? No, not yet. I will. They say, it's okay. It's all right. You know, I haven't heard anyone sit here and tell me, okay, this album is extravagant and it's the greatest thing in the world. But I also had no one told me, hey, that's a complete waste of time. Kanye is just being Kanye. So that's the part that drew my attention. I got to listen to this, because no one is bashing it lyrically. And nobody's bashing it per se as in, hey, he's still talking about strippers and drugs and whatever it may be. He's not talking about anything like that. And so in my opinion, I'm like, okay, I need to give it the time, sit down and actually pay attention and listen to it. So I sat down, I listened to it. It's a short album, which is okay. It's not a long album in any way, shape, or form. But I think when you have a message that you're trying to deliver, I don't think you need to oversay things. So I thought it was well in that realm. I am 100% with you though. That Closed on Sunday song, literally, I was like, what is this? Like, you're my number one with the Lemonade. That one had me. I had a pause the song for a second. I was like, there's no way. How does this make the cut? There's no way. I would put this in any sort of like freestyle, much less a planned album.
Yeah.
But anyway, overall, to answer your question specifically, it was a lot less yay than I was expecting to hear, which is a positive. It is something that I was really expecting a lot of, hey, my struggles, my issues, this is how I overcame it. Oh, and by the way, Jesus helped me. If I were to be completely honest with you and judgmental, if we want to use that word, that's what I was expecting out of a Kanye album. And I didn't get that. Was he completely direct and clear on the gospel message in his album? I would say it probably fell a little short, but I would also say that this sounds just kind of like a, you know, quote unquote, a baby Christian, what you and I would call a baby Christian, that's still trying to do something right to please Christ. And I don't know, and I believe that God would be one that was pleased with the effort, and I would definitely caution Kanye, at least in the future, and he'll never hear this podcast, maybe, but if he does, I would caution him is just to be mindful of just maybe more spiritual truth. But as far as selfishness, you know, hey, it's all about me, that didn't exist, and I thought that was great.
Let me put it like this. Do you think, and I know we don't know this, and this is not us, you know, we are not someone that, you know, knows Kanye West's heart by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
However, did this album make you feel like he had a genuine relationship with God, and he's just kind of like you said, a baby Christian trying to figure it out?
If you're asking me the question if the album did it, I would tell you no. Not initially. And the reason why I would say that is, once again, we've had this track record before of people who are entertainers or actors and actresses saying that they've had this complete conversion and this complete change, and now they're going to start making music. I would be one who would sit back, hear the album, and say, okay, you know what? This is something that I need to wait and see if this is just going to be a repetitive thing. I wanted to see if there was going to be another gospel album. I mean, let's be honest, this isn't Kanye's last album, at least, you know, I don't think so.
Mm.
And so if this isn't his last album, what's the next album? Is the next album going to be a lot more about him, or is it more Jesus is King? Is it more sharing the gospel? And I'd be interested in seeing that. So by the album release and me hearing the album, did I think that Kanye had a genuine change? I would say that would just be premature for me to say yes. And there's a track record that exists that shows that's probably not necessarily the case. Doesn't mean that it didn't happen. Doesn't mean that it did happen. I just don't think that's enough to say, yeah, this happened, or no, that didn't happen.
I got you. I feel you. I think, though, the only thing I would say is that, like, yes, there's been other celebrities who are even just people in general that were maybe they first put out music that was secular and they felt like they had this transformation. But I don't know never mind. There's only one other one that came to mind. But there's not many that have, like, a full gospel album. Like, I know some of them had, like, gospel songs, mm-hmm. maybe, mm-hmm. and they were, like, little kind of, not really. But this one, and also I know it's another one that I know people that are listening to me will not believe this, but Snoop Dogg had a gospel album a couple of years ago, okay? Snoop Dogg.
Someone told me that, yeah.
So let's let me be honest. It was a full gospel, like, album. Like, when I mean gospel,
yeah.
like, he had, like, gospel, like black gospel superstars on the album, like it was mm-hmm. for real gospel. But needless to say, besides that one, I would say this, but like you said, it's not only the music, because you probably saw interviews, you probably saw like him on, there were like late night guest spots when he was speaking more about his faith, that it may have swayed you a different way. Is that, am I right
yeah.
with that assumption?
Oh, my goodness. So I remember saying, you know, when you and I were chatting about the podcast tonight and some of the things we wanted to touch on, I said the only thing I really want to make sure we touch on is an interview that he did. And there was an interview that he did with Big Boy, who's a talk show host, I believe out West. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm almost positive he's out
mm-hmm.
West, based out West. One of the most premier hip-hop talk show hosts in America, bottom line, hands down, no question of that. And Big Boy wanted to do a sit-down interview with Kanye, and I remember seeing a snippet. He also did an interview with James Corden, the late-night talk show host on an airplane. I only saw like 2 or 3 minutes of that, but I watched the entire Kanye West interview with Big Boy. And I was interested in seeing that, because here's a subtle thing that I had in my mind, right? What people don't recognize is that sometimes you'll talk differently to someone that's not part of your quote-unquote culture, right? So in other words, the conversations that you and I will have sometimes, for instance, like this one particularly, you and I can go into realms and topics and ideas about this Kanye art or Kanye album that I necessarily can't go through with my church, you know, because it's predominantly Caucasian or predominantly white.
Right.
It's not a bad
right.
thing. It's just how it is, because you and I will understand something a little bit differently than someone else might. I was very sure the interview with James Corden was awesome, but I was super interested with the interview with Kanye Big Boy, because this is kin. This is someone that Kanye knows and Kanye has a relationship with, professional relationship with, has that idea, has that interview. And I got to tell you, man, as hesitant as sometimes people want to be, that's not the yay that I've known for a decade. That is about me. This sounds so little and so trite, but Big Boy asked the question, what do you want people to know about your album, Jesus is King? And Kanye said, Jesus is King.
Yeah,
so just something that simple, right? And so that's such a trite sentence. And for me, I was thrown away by that entire sentence, because what I was expecting was, I want people, you know, this is the answer. You know, I want people to know my struggle and how my year was and how awful it was and how I overcame. And I, man, there was a lot of references to Kanye talking about his relationship with Christ and his salvation is the word that he used, salvation. He, in a loose way, but gave the gospel, like I said, in a loose way. He didn't say, hey, the Bible says in the book of John, you know, how you and I may be used to hearing it. But, you know, he said there's either paradise or Fahrenheit. And that little phrase right there, I'm just like, man, whoa, wait a second. My man gets it somewhat, you know. And again, as he's talking, you still hear the flashes. You know, you still hear the somewhat of an old Kanye still in that conversation. I think that was his comfortability with talking to Big Boy. But at the same token, I'm not hearing the same guy, which, if I'm blunt with you, literally, honestly makes me smile.
Bro, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I was very much pleasantly surprised by the interview and the things he was saying about his relationship with God. And it was funny. Sometimes he'd be like, I know I made a lot of some Christian, like, I went down to some Christian points here. But you know what? He was just being honest, like being himself.
Yeah.
And I really liked it, man. And he talked about, I might have been mixing this interview with something else, where he talked about the importance of repentance, about repenting and things like that. And, like, that kind of language coming from Kanye is super surprising.
Like, yeah.
Extremely. You know, he will be, and this is showing my, how much I need to grow, but he would literally be the last person that I would ever think about to have this type of transformation that I'm witnessing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And like I said, that is completely, that showing my immaturity, because like we all know biblically that God can literally save anybody. But yet in my head, in my mind, Kanye would never have come to mind. And I'm seeing some of the humility. I know, get wrong, there's still some pride there, but I'm seeing some humility in Kanye West now that we never saw previously.
What I will tell you, man, is I understand, there's some pride there. But compare apples to apples, my man. If you look at Kanye 2 years ago and compare that pride to the pride we saw in that interview, that is humility. It is, like, finest. Like every 30, maybe 40 sentences has something to do with Kanye. Whereas 2 years ago, every little other sentence had to do with Kanye. you know? And it was really impressive to see this, and it was really impressive to hear. I'm with you. It's really impressive to hear him use the word like salvation. When he used salvation,
yeah,
I was thrown off. When he used repentance, I was thrown off. When he used the analogy broad as the way, you know, that leads to destruction and things like that, I was thrown off. And I'm just like, wait, so okay, he understands, quote unquote, our lingo. Now get it. Quote unquote, the lingo doesn't get you saved. That's not salvation, right?
Right.
But there is an understanding that exists. So one thing that I cannot say is that Kanye doesn't know salvation, because I believe he does. And I think the way that he does is that it may have happened. You know what I mean? And I have to admit, that is not the same dude. And by all means, I tried, even with a little bit of, like, guardedness, to say, what is it that he's saying? Is he really meaning this? He always kept deflecting. You know, when it was talking about serving God and serving the kingdom, he deflected off of him onto God, and then sometimes get back into him, but then always jumped right back into serving the Lord. And that is interesting, man. That is interesting, because that is not something that you hear a lot out of Hollywood, and you don't hear a lot about out of entertainers. And I'm with you. He would be in that category. If there was a Vegas bet, I would put all my checks on that a couple of years ago. And you're right. This is an area where I now need to know, I have to grow in that and recognize, even as Paul says, he being chief among the vilest sinners, God can still use. And
exactly.
And Kanye, he may not be the vilest sinner in the world, but man, that's someone that I probably wouldn't have equated to having a chance. And here he is. Look at this.
And this is something, because, okay, I'm going to be honest. I watched a couple of interviews. I saw one where he was on Jimmy Kimmel. And
sure.
Jimmy Kimmel, and this is another thing that it's super, super, how can I say, it's going to sound crazy. You're going to probably laugh at me, but it's super simple. And he asked Kanye, he was like, are you a Christian artist now? And Kanye West says, I'm just a Christian everything. And I don't know why, but that just, like, hit me, like, that's an absolute perfect answer for that. Like, I'm not just a Christian in my music. I'm Christian everywhere. I'm a Christian everything. And I just feel like that's so good, because we can get to a point, and there's a Christian rapper named KB. He has this album where he talks about, and one of the things he said in the album is that you can build a Christian empire without God. And what he was saying by that is, there's a lot of people that may be saying that they're in the Christian music industry, or they are preachers and churches who are talking all this lingo, but they don't have a true relationship with God. So they have all this Christian lingo, they have all this stuff. So you can build this Christian empire. Build this, because he said, you know, that he talks about he's hung out on stages with other Christian artists who they will be performing and all have all these words and songs about Christ, but then when the song's over, they're not living at all whatever they were singing about. It was just for a check. And I just feel like, you know, of course we can have that, you know, of course, you know, that fear or that particular thing, even with the Kanye West thing. But just those type of things is when he said that literally I'm a Christian everything, it switched it from just being a Christian musician to a Christian in my life. And I think that's kind of why it hit me so hard. I know it's so simple, but it still kind of hit me like, wow, that's a really good answer.
Yeah. 100%, and you're 1,000% right, and I guess I definitely understand that skepticism. But yeah, that answer was really, again, that's not anything. Again, it's simple, just like my answer. Hey, what do you want to learn people to know about Jesus is King? That Jesus is King, you know. it's and I made it seem like some eureka moment, like aha, that's intelligent. But that's exactly, I don't know. I'm just completely baffled by some of his answers. So it's impressive. And
yes, man.
I have to be honest.
Now let's be completely honest. Now we are saying all this and we're talking, you know, so highly about it. But there are many Christians, and Kanye West even talked about it on his album, who still don't embrace Kanye. They literally are like, there is no way that Kanye West can be saved. There's no way. I don't believe it. I don't trust it. Yada, yada, yada. There's a lot. And I still see that on my timeline, so to speak, you know, from several people that are like, nah, I don't believe it. I don't trust it type thing. Why do you think, and I think we kind of alluded to it a few minutes ago, but why do you think that there's some Christians who just won't give Kanye West a chance?
It's hard. It's hard to pin it down to one particular thing. I think there's a handful of things. I think the thing that would be the largest reason, and I'll describe it this way. One of the things that we've learned about the American history is that there's this real idea between the separation of church and state, right? That's the idea of, you know, government doesn't get involved in church, church doesn't get involved in government, blah, 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 the two doesn't intertwine. What's happening in our society today and what's happening right now in 2019, I think it's going to be a continuing trend for the next decade, two decades, three decades, is now we're seeing that there should not be an integration between church and entertainment. We're seeing Hollywood as in, hey, Hollywood is Hollywood. Hollywood is always vile. Anyone that's involved in Hollywood and anyone that's involved in entertainment has sold their soul to the devil and has allowed for themselves to just not be used of God, and there's no hope. We who are Christians, quote unquote, the lowly folk and the humble folk, we're not all about Hollywood. We're not all about that showboating and shininess. And there's hope for us, and in order for you to be a Christian, you have to have a level of humility and give all of that up and serve Christ. Well, first off, and just to set the record straight, because I'm not afraid to call Christians out sometimes, that's a lie. You know, there are times where you will not to sacrifice things for Christ, and it's not this idea of God, I throw away everything for you, unless it comes to that. But what we tend to make Christianity as is, hey, you start with nothing and let God give you everything. When sometimes God may actually give you the increase for him to get, for you to give to other people and to give the gospel message and whatever it may be. And so we think of those that are in Hollywood, and we think of those that have this idea of, hey, I can get millions and millions of dollars at my beck and will, and they feel like they have no needs. Now they have Christ, quote-unquote, in their lives. In some people's minds, it's a quote-unquote. And we're here as Christians like, wait a second. Why all of a sudden do you want God now? Are you losing money? Are you not as popular as you once were? Is this a money grab that you're trying to do? And we're sitting here believing this lie that, hey, Kanye can't be saved because look at what he did the last decade. Again, we talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. His first song was Jesus Walks. It's not as boisterous in his gospel message as his gospel album is now, but this is something that we're just like, oh my goodness, Kanye can't actually be saved. This is something that, you know, he did one time, and obviously it's not real, so clearly it's not real again. And it's such a hypocrisy amongst Christians that they don't even recognize, because we're here saying God can save the vilest of sinners, including you. And Kanye says, yes, I agree, I'm saved. And we're like, no, 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 no. No, brother, you can't. No, not your kind of vile. We're talking about a different guy. No, that's ridiculous, man. That's where the ideas of, like, the Calvinisms and everything come into play, where you're just trying to limit the gospel message and you're saying, hey, this isn't something that we can extend to you and give to you because you've sold your soul. No, there's no idea of selling your soul, my man. God can save anyone as long as you have the breath for it. And if this is a genuine thing for Kanye, does he need to grow in Christ? Absolutely. But, Shelton, when you were saved, were you perfect in your Christian walk? No. Okay. You've been saved for a little while. Are you perfect in your Christian walk now? No. Man, I'm in leadership and ministry. I'm a youth pastor, youth director. Am I perfect in my Christian walk? Heck no, man. Not even close.
No, you're closer. You close to it.
No, I am not close. No, not even close, man. And so there's a level of growth, man, that has to happen, and I think we as Christians ought to encourage that. And I don't understand why we sit here and create this false separation between church and entertainment and recognize, well, he can't be that saved. If you're expecting a radical change, as in he now is going to wear a suit and show up at some independent fundamental Baptist church, no, you're kidding yourself. And God recognizes that we all have growth, and there's growth that has to happen in all of us, and we got to get there. And I think he can. If this is genuine and if this is real, God knows the heart. I see fruits to where, this leaning towards this could be real. And if it is, man, I want nothing but to encourage my brother in Christ and see him grow.
Hey, bro, that's so good. I feel like as Christians, we are like, there's some Christians who feel like they have to be Christian bouncers, right? Like they're only letting certain people in the Christian club. They're like, oh, no, you ain't good enough to get in our Christian club. You're not good enough to do this. So we feel like we're these Christian bouncers that we can say, who gets in and who's not. And if we're going to be honest, this has nothing to do with us. Like salvation, none of that has to do with us. We don't send people in and we don't send people out. And I think sometimes as Christians, I think some of us have been saved a little too long. And what I mean by that is sometimes we forget that we are, you know, that there was a time when we had to, you know, we had to look at ourselves as sinners. Like and to be honest, we should still be repenting each and every day, if we're going to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes we think that we stayed so long that we're like, oh, you know, I'm good now. But nah, you still need Jesus, y'all. Okay? Y'all
listening,
you still need Jesus.
Absolutely. And it always just baffles my mind, man, that we're just so, I think you use the phrase correctly, we're so into being Christian bouncers, if you will, if that even exists, which it doesn't.
Yeah.
where we're just, you know, we're so caught up in, hey, this can't be real, and there's no way it's true. And I guess to an extent, I get it, because we have seen this happen with other entertainers before. But you got to recognize this isn't a trend amongst amongst Hollywood. This isn't a trend that's just, hey, let's make a nice, cool Christian album and then go away from it. This is something that's just like, hey, we got to get better at teaching and growing and discipling these young or these new Christians if this is serious, you know. And he said something that was, and this is something that he said that makes me believe him so much more, man, is that he has people on one side that are not Christians that think, whoa, you're one of those weird people now. That's ridiculous. Then he has Christians that say, there's no way that can be true. And so, you know, he gives the idea of, man, it's a good thing I don't serve either of them. I mean, you and I don't even have that kind of a talk, man, sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and we've been Christians for a while. And so it's almost frustrating sometimes, brother, to just see how Christians can react. We create this unwritten rule that exists, and it's not true, it's not love, and it's something that's not gracious that I think Christians ought to be.
Exactly, man. And I think, man, we talk about, you know, because the thing is, we're going to lead into this, is how Christians are, like you just mentioned, there are some Christians that are like, you know, Kanye, you're not good enough here. And then there's the people that he just came from are kicking him out too. Like the culture of hip-hop, there's a lot of people kicking him out and because of things that he's done and things that he's said. So, and we're going to kind of talk about this a little bit as well, is him being kicked out of hip-hop and of the people media not liking him, so to speak, it wasn't just about this album, but kind of who he aligned himself with and with him wearing that MAGA hat. And this is something I want to ask you, and I think that I know your answer to this one, but do you think that the reason why, and I think, let me ask you straight up, do you think the reason why a lot of the media wasn't liking this album at first has to do with the fact that Kanye West put on that MAGA hat? Do you think You think that's true or what? What do you think?
1,000%. There's no doubt in my mind. Kanye has been a person. He's been all over the political realm. Okay, he's in one term pro Obama, right? Who politically doesn't align anything close to Donald Trump, and then in his current term, he's very pro Trump. You know, and so the politics essence of it is not necessarily something that I can base off of and say, okay, well, he's a Democrat or he's a Republican. He's been all over the place. But with that being said, he is also someone that is very pro-Trump, very pro-MAGA, very anti-black culture in the realm that he probably isn't very popular. What is it that he said a long time ago, shouting about slavery?
Slavery was a choice.
It was a thank you, that slavery was a choice, right?
Yes.
Talk about shooting yourself in the foot. that is the last thing that you need to tell black people. I am a conservative black person. By the way, for anyone listening, I am on the record, not a Trump supporter. Even though I am conservative, there's things about Trump that I could never support. So I did not vote for him, and I don't plan to again. And if anyone's interested in why, you can ask me. But for someone who is now being viewed in the public eye as a Republican, right, and saying the sentence, "Hey, slavery was a choice," gosh, man, you already did not have the approval of the black community in and of itself. So
right.
Now. You have this, you have CNN, who's very anti-Trump, and you have MSNBC and all these other media platforms that are very anti-Trump. And Kanye West is one of those people who is very pro-Trump and very anti-black culture. And now here he is, the pro-Trump, anti-black culture is making a black gospel album. And in their mind, there's a hypocrisy in that. In their mind, this is a money grab. See how much black fans or whatever he can save and get back with and whatever it may be. And you know what? That's the play of media. You know, you know me, I went to school for broadcasting and one of the things that I learned early off is that there is always an agenda to every media outlet. I don't care which one it is.
True.
There is the Republican or the conservative outlet. There's a libertarian outlet. There's a Democratic outlet. Every single media source and media outlet has an agenda. There is no neutral agenda. And the idea that, you know, there is a negative spin on, you know, Kanye's album for a lot of these media outlets is part of that agenda. And so there's no doubt in my mind, Sheldon, to answer your question in a long-winded way, there's no doubt in my mind that the fact that Kanye West supports Donald Trump and supports MAGA is part of the reason why most media outlets want really nothing to do with it.
Bro, I'm going to be 100 with everybody, man. I think that's a huge reason why people aren't messing with this album. I think that if he never would have said any of the things that he said, and also, if we're going to be honest, Kanye West is one of those people that you can't put every word that he says under a microscope. Like, he's one of those people that he's trying to say something. Like, we have to, like, figure out what his point is on a lot of things before you kind of dive in and attack him on certain things. Because, like, the whole slavery is a choice thing. What he was trying to say and what came out were two different things. What he was trying to say, I kind of, you know, see where he's going with it. But what came out, that one little soundbite is what people remember. But, like, what he was trying to say was this grand thing of trying to help black people to say, hey, there are certain things you don't have to choose to think a certain way just because you're black. You don't have to choose to do this or just because you don't, you know, like he's trying to free people from what he would say is mental slavery type thing. You're mentally in shackles thinking that because you're black, you have to do X, Y, and Z, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But what the soundbite came out was slavery was a choice, and that just kind of no one heard anything what you were trying to say. And so it's kind of one of those things where it stinks to me that we and I'm gonna be honest, it is kind of how I feel about Donald Trump sometimes as well. Is I feel this Donald Trump isn't the type of guy who you have to understand his full point. He's not gonna articulate everything great. He's not gonna say the right thing. But what I'm trying to say is, what's his point here? He's not gonna say the right thing. He's not gonna tweet the right thing. He's going, and I don't understand the outrage that the media does with Donald Trump, because, like, you should be used to it by now. He's not going to have the lingo that you're looking for, but what's his point? What's his policy? What is he, like, we should attack him on the point he said, the policy he said, and not just the language and what and how he said it. But anyways, man, I did not want to dive into that. I'm sorry.
Let me touch on that real quick, Sheldon, if you don't mind. And I think this is going to play in a point in a personality sense. And I know politics is not the main thing, but this is the overall point that I'm trying to drive. First and foremost, people are now starting to get a little bit more up and roar about Donald Trump because reelections are literally a year away. And we got to slander the name of Donald Trump for the Democratic side to have a shot at this, because you and I may have touched on this briefly. I think it was a personal conversation. There's a good chance Donald Trump's going to get reelected. It's not a small chance. There's a good chance that he can get reelected. Now, all that to say this, people that are viewed as narcissists, which you and I would classify as Donald Trump, and at a time you and I would classify as Kanye, people that are seen as narcissists, are people that like to hear themselves talk. They enjoy the sound of their own voice no matter what comes out of it. So with that being said, you made a point that's super interesting, because I even caught it in the Big Boy album, right? There'd be times, or it's not the album, the interview. There'll be times where Big Boy asks a pointed question, and it takes Kanye about 3 or 4 minutes to answer it. You know what I mean? If he answers it. And so he'll go into a topic and go into another thing, and I'm like, wait a second, that's not the – there was one time Big Boy had to ask the question twice because it didn't answer it the first time. And that's where the point – I was like, okay, well, we still see flashes of Kanye. Because remember, it was all about him. I genuinely don't think that this is right – as of right now, I don't believe it's a facade. You know, I do believe that there was a change that, or a real encounter with Christ that happened. But let's be honest, a lot of your old flesh still shows up. And at times, if you're a person that was a narcissist, man, every word that comes out of your mouth is as good as gospel, whether it's on topic or not. Hey, what is it that you want people to get out of your album, Kanye? Well, we were out in Haiti and we were serving people. That's what the Christians are about. You got to serve people. I'm like, that's not what Big Boy asked. And that's part of the old flesh that I think Kanye's trying to shed off. And so I would answer that particular point in saying that that's where the idea of a narcissistic mindset still comes in. That's a very common studied character trait amongst those that are not. Any idea they have is the greatest idea ever. And anything they say is the best thing that you could say at that moment.
Bro, you hit that on the head, man. Because this is what I feel like. I feel like the media, I think that the media just kind of blows, kind of like we talked about, they blow things kind of out of proportion. And Kanye West is a guy you've got to, like, give him latitude. Like, give him a few minutes, because it's going to take him some time to answer your question. It's going to take him some time to really get where he wants to go. And that's why there's sometimes in that interview with Big Boy, he was like, we just have to agree to disagree, because this is just how it is. Like, we just don't see eye to eye on this particular issue. And I love the broader point what Kanye was saying. It's like, let people be themselves. Like, to be honest with you, I think we put people on a pedestal too much. So what mm-hmm. that Kanye likes Trump? Like, so what? Like, he's one person. He can have that opinion, and we shouldn't be mm-hmm. trying to bully him into a different opinion. You see what I'm saying? And, like,
yeah.
even though I totally disagree with his conclusion, you know, with his support for Trump, but I understand, like, we both have the same kind of agenda. The same things he wants to do for black people, I agree with that same thing. I just don't think the solution for that is Donald Trump or, you know, for you know, or his policies, so quote unquote. But at the same time, here's a little plug that people might get mad at me about. Donald Trump did sign a bill to help with prison reform, which is going to help a prison system that predominantly incarcerates black people for no reason. But no one wants to talk about it. But anyways, we ain't going to go with that right now. Anyways, but, okay, I'm saying all this to say, even though I may not agree with Kanye West, this one man, I'm not going to bully him into having the same opinion that I have. It's okay for us to think differently. And I think that's something that we should be more okay with in this society. But for some reason, we're not.
Yeah. It's very much look out for the wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, and that's what we're – but the idea is we're willing to call out the wolf before you can even see the sheep. And that
yeah.
and that's the part that's just getting kind of crazy at this particular point, especially in Christianity. And I think we need to take a step back. I will say you and I have a lot of the same circles, right? And I
oh,
understand
yeah.
some of the side that is very skeptic, and I really do see where they're coming from. What I will say is I believe I have a lot more friends that are willing to say, hey, you know what? If this is real, welcome to the family of God, brother, and let's see you grow. Like that. I think I've seen that more so in the circle that I have been around and have seen. I mean, listen to this, man. At my job, I have a boss that just honestly is not, in his words, I'm not a religious man, you know? That in his mind, this transformation between Kanye that's happened, he literally told me this the other day, there could be no other reason than God and Jesus Christ. None.
Wow.
No other reason. And this person,
wow.
like I said, he's not a religious person. He doesn't like talking, you know, he doesn't mind talking about God things and everything, and he believes that there is a God, you know what I mean? But he's not someone that would say, you know, you need to be saved. And he's looking at Kanye West. He looked at his album, looked at the interviews, just to be curious. And he's like, you know what? This is real. And the only way this is real is if it's Jesus. Man, if my manager gets saved because of Kanye West, you can't tell me that I need to sit here and be skeptic of it. You know what I mean? It very well could happen. It very well could be the case. And I think we as Christians are just so afraid, I guess, to allow entertainment to be that way. You know, I mean, we have a tough time with entertaining music or entertaining, you know, we have a tough time with Christian music, you know, amongst Christian circles. We have this debate that goes on, what's good Christian music, what's not. We have this, what's good Christian entertainment? Should there be such thing as Christian movies? What is that? Why does that exist? Yeah, all these stupid little arguments that quite frankly don't matter for the cause of the kingdom, you know, and we get caught up in that. We miss sometimes the absolute apparent blessing that's right in front of us, which could be one of the vilest sinners in society's mind coming to know Jesus as their savior. What larger blessing is that?
Hey boy, amen. I can't, man, you're just getting me even more excited about this because it makes me excited to hear about anybody that gets saved, like anybody. And it just makes me think about, like, we should just walk with Kanye at this. Like, I know we are not, like, with Kanye, we're not friends with Kanye, but at this
right.
time, I think that we should, like, you know, walk with him during the journey. So, you know, pray for Kanye, you know, really hope that he can have people in his circle that aren't yes men, that are really going to challenge him spiritually, that are really
mm-hmm.
going to help him on this journey with God, man. I think
mm-hmm.
I think the best thing to do when we hear about cases like this is to believe it. I think the first thing we should do is believe it, and then until fruit shows us otherwise. And I think that's kind of the best kind of thing to say with that. And, man, I got one more thing I want to say, and then we'll go. And I know you got to go soon as well.
You're good. But, you're good, brother.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so let me ask this, and this is kind of like a – it's kind of funny, but I just wanted to have your reaction to it. I have noticed, because I'm huge into, like, you know, more into, like, in the Christian hip-hop world and understanding all this. And what I find very interesting and fascinating is that this album – has gotten more appreciated from Christians, you know, so to speak, for Kanye's transformation. And I think it's awesome. And let me just put this on record. I think I said this on the last podcast, is I absolutely love that the content that Kanye was trying to put out. But I've heard Christian artists do a better job with the themes that he was doing. And I was wondering, why do you think Christians at large have never gravitated or praised or loved, it seems like, other Christian rappers or artists as much as they're loving this celebrity turning into a, you know, doing this whole Christian music per se? What do you think that's from?
Well, I think we got to dissect that question. I would go as far as saying, at least in the circle that you and I are in, I don't think anyone's really digging the Kanye music because it doesn't fit under their particular tastes. You know what I mean? So I'm not here.
Yeah.
I'm not here saying now we have a plethora of friends that are just sitting here like, oh my gosh, Christian rap is great. I'm going to now listen. I don't think that's happening. I think what they're loving more so is the story of this hip hop artist from Chicago, who was incredibly disrespectful to women and whatever it may be. Now, serving for Christ and loving Christ, but they wouldn't necessarily buy this album, quite frankly, you know, because it just doesn't fit that particular cup of tea. Now, amongst those that do like more so of a hip-hop style or anything like that, let's put it this way. If I'm someone that is the illest of lyricists, I'm one of the best lyrical geniuses that's a rapper, right? And I tell you, Shell, man, I'm going to bust out my first Christian rap album. I'm going to do it. You know, it's going to be lit. I got Lecrae on it. I got Andy Mineo on it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be dope. And I literally do a better job than, you know, any other artist probably could. But if you hear that now Eminem is going to make a rap album about Jesus Christ and how good he is and how awesome he is, whose album are you buying?
I mean,
you're my friend, so you'll buy mine out of just because you love me. But let's be honest, I'm gonna buy Eminem's album, and I'm gonna hear that. I'm gonna be super curious about that. And the reason being, I think just in its mainstay is just the name. I think that's the simplest portion of it. Here you have honestly a multi-mega millionaire that has made his career. I mean, he's married to a Kardashian. He was on this reality television show. He has shoes. He has clothes. He has albums. He's been into TV shows, commercials with Kobe Bryant. This man is all over. Kanye is literally almost a household name. I'm nothing. I'm not there. And so I'm not equating myself to the Lecrae's or to the Andy Mineo's and saying that they're nothing. I'm just saying when you look at that scope or you look at that realm of that hip-hop Christian genre, and now you take this multi-millionaire and add his name in it, oh, yeah, you're going to get a little traction and say, hey, here's a guy from the outside world that made a whole career, and now he's going to want to dabble in our music. Oh, bet. Let me see exactly what that's about. And that's exactly, I think, what's the main issue there. I don't think it's necessarily saying, oh, well, Lecrae is bad and, you know, he's just a terrible rapper, because we know that's pretty much not the truth. But I think more so it's just the idea that there's a larger name and a larger person, fame-wise, that is making an album called Jesus is King, where that's an album that for the majority of his career, he probably never would have made. And so, and again, do people like his album? I've heard mixed reviews. I don't think we have seen like a convert of anybody. Oh yeah, I'm going to do Christian or listen to Christian rap now all the time. But I think a lot of people were absolutely interested in what Kanye had to say, and they wanted to see for themselves that this transition was true.
Okay, I absolutely love that answer. I wish, this is another disclaimer too, is I think also too, when it comes to the media, well, we have to be honest with ourselves as well with this. Another reason why they don't like the album is not just, and this is, I think, him wearing the MAGA hat is true, but also the music of this album was not great.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the song structure wasn't great. Some of the songs weren't good songs. Like this is the thing. This is one of the things that a lot of people in the world has to say about Christian music. They say you guys only care about the lyrics, where we care about the actual music and the song and what it sounds like. And so a lot of times as Christians, we'll just we'll receive bad art if Jesus is on it. And the world just won't do that. They're not going to give it a pass just because it says Jesus, okay? And I think that's something we got to be honest about, too, is that sometimes people aren't going to listen, not because Jesus' name is on it or because it's more Christian, but sometimes if the music isn't good, that's something that they just won't consume. But they say, man, you guys, y'all just – and let's be honest, we are like that because we're excited about someone that is loving the faith and enjoying the faith because faith – because we've all sat in church services where someone went up to sing and they weren't good, okay? Mm-hmm. But sometimes we still clapped or we still told them it was good because we are excited about anyone that's trying to worship God or anyone that's trying to. So I get that, and I think that's a good response to it. But also, we have to be honest with we have to be honest. This as much as I'm excited about Kanye West's transformation, I've heard better songs. And that's what a lot of, some of the media that I listen to, there's a person on, I wouldn't recommend people to listen to this because it's too much, might be too much for you guys. But I just would say when I'm referencing is there's a Joe Budden podcast that reviewed the album. And one of the first things that they said, I didn't even know they even knew these people. They were like, listen, I didn't like the album. It's not because I don't like songs about God or gospel. It's not a good album. That's exactly what they said. And they said, I would rather listen to Lecrae or Andy Mineo. They're actually better. And those are the two names on the Joe Budden podcast that they mentioned. And I was like, whoa, you guys know who these people are? They're like, yeah, they make better music than what Kanye just put out. So I'm just saying we got to be honest about some of this stuff too.
Sure. That's part of the reason why I asked you initially, how do you want me to answer your first question that you asked me what I think about the album? Do you want me to answer that in as musical – musically, or is Kanye the artist? And those are two different answers, because I'm with you.
Yeah.
If you ask me how did it fall on my ear, I tell you not very well. I'm one of my favorite black gospel choir is the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. It's literally, I haven't heard a bad song from them yet, put it that way. They're one of my favorites. Absolutely. They're well done. Very professional, and that album is not half of Brooklyn Tabernacle album. You know what I mean? It's in regards to quality and the production style of the music. But what I will say is, it has a lot more traction and has garnered a lot more traction just because of the name of it. You know, the fact that Kanye is someone that is. Known in the hip hop world as one of the best entertainers that existed in this generation. But yeah, I would agree with you. You know, if you were to ask me if there's a better Christian rapper, Christian artist or anything like that, or even just Christian musicians or choir or band, I think there are a handful that probably could make better, more gospel resounding music than probably what we heard of Jesus is King.
Right, exactly. And this is no diss, there's no shade to the Kanye album, not at all.
Absolutely not.
I appreciate his first attempt, Because it's like you can't compare people that have been doing Christian music for 6-7 years to someone who's doing it on their first attempt, okay? So I'm not going to be that person. But at the same time, if we're really talking about the music and how the music was, and, you know, it just some of the song structure, some of it wasn't good, some of the songs were too short. If we're going to just, I can pick apart this album if I want to, but I am happy with the transformation that Kanye West went through, what he did. And then, what would you say now, as we're going to close here, what would you say to Christians, you know, about Kanye West now, man? Would you say, you know, what would be something that you think we as Christians should do, hearing about, you know, Kanye's kind of transformation?
Well, it's crazy trite, right? But obviously, you got to pray for him. Because at the end of the day, as of now, we have to accept him and accept the fact that he's a brother in Christ, right? It's not right. up to us. It's not up to us. We're not God. We don't have a God complex, and we don't know the heart of Kanye. So we can't sit here and act like we do. So if Kanye says that he's experienced salvation, or he's saved and he's been saved, he was once lost and now he's saved, and he desires to see other people saved, you and I as Christians are obliged, we are obligated to make sure that we sharpen our brother, whether it's close by or distantly. And even distantly, one thing that we would do is just pray, you know. And you know, one of the interesting and cool and fun parts of social media is we have access to a lot of these celebrities and honestly just a comment section. Now, these guys get 30, 40, 50, 60,000 comments a day. So
yeah,
the chances that they're going to read mine is probably very slim. But there's a chance, you know, and if there's a chance and if there's something that I can do to help encourage a brother, then I will, you know. But we have to pray for Kanye. We have to help him grow. That's literally our responsibility. That is our biblical responsibility. When the Bible tells us iron sharpeneth iron, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. And Kanye's iron, if this is a legitimate thing, which I believe it is, Kanye's iron, and we have to help him grow in it. We have to help him grow spiritually with it. And we have to join him in the cause, because I genuinely believe that he wants to see other people saved, because he's mentioned that in the interview with the Big Boy interview as well. So if that is true and that is legitimate, we have to be able to sit here and say, okay, look in the mirror, swallow your pride, chill out, recognize that maybe his upbringing is a little different than mine. Maybe some of the viewpoints that he may have is different than mine, but we all serve the same God and we all have the same goal, and that's to see the world saved. If that's the case, we have to watch and help him grow in that realm and leave the judgment to God. You are not on God's throne. You did not write anything in Lamb's Book of Life, so you don't know Kanye's heart. All we can do is take him for his word. And just like you said, we'll know more as we watch his fruits and the fruits of his labor. And this is something that he continues in, then man, I'm all about it. I'm all for it. And this will probably be one of the best transformations of our entire generation. But I will say, I will think worst case scenario and say, if this is a facade and we find out that Kanye's next album is just like any other album that's ever been written, it's fallen away, don't automatically think that it never happened. You also got to remember, there is an idea of carnality that can exist. People can backslide, okay? Or if it was never real, our job as Christian now is to help make it real, okay? We don't just shut him out and we don't shove him out and say, oh, that was fake, bye. Well, okay, what do we have to do? Because at the end of the day, Kanye is a soul. No matter how much money he has, no matter how many cool things he may own, at the end of the day, he's a soul. And that's someone that we have to win for the cause of Christ, because he will spend an eternity somewhere. And if the transformation was not real, if the salvation was not real, it still must be in order for him to get saved, and we got to get there with him. So leave all the judgment to God, and what you and I are supposed to do as Christians, win our brother. And that would be the only adhering and admonishing I would have to any Christian out there that may be on the fence or worried about it.
That's so, And this is something, what you said is absolutely great, man. And something that I would add to that as well is in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 12, I think this kind of, and through this passage here, I think this is so good when talking about Kanye. But in Philippians 1:12, and I'm going to read a few verses of it, I think it's down to 17, it says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things that what happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Now, this is the key thing here. "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding everywhere, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." So what Paul is saying is there are some people who's preaching the preaching of Christ, not sincerely. But he says whether they're doing it in pretense or whether they're doing it in truth, what I'm excited about is Christ is preached. And because of that, I rejoice, and yea, I will rejoice. And I think that's really good. I think in this context is whether you believe that this is a real thing or not, we should be more excited that Christ is preached. I think I looked at something the other day that more people are Googling about the gospel now and looking up the gospel now that Kanye West has put this album out, that Jesus is King. So at the end of the day, man, I think that's something that we should be super, super excited about and rejoice, whether we may think it's real or maybe we think it's not. That's what I think that we should be excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree, brother. I think we do need to be excited. Yes, sir.
So, man, this is I'm super, super excited to have you on. I mean, of course, I'm going to definitely have you back on to talk sports. Because my Miami Heat, I mean, we're looking good this year. I mean, I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, as of tonight, though, I think I just looked at the score. We weren't doing so good in Denver, but that's all right. Overall, though, we've been looking pretty good, and I've been pretty excited about what I'm seeing from the Jimmy Butler Heat. I'm pretty excited. So, yeah, we're definitely going to have you back on to talk about basketball and stuff like that.
Let's do it, man. I got a lot to talk about, and we got to talk about Trae Young's push for the MVP, you know, so.
at least the Atlanta Hawks are giving me a little bit more hope than your Atlanta Falcons this year. I don't know what's
going on. Well, John, I think it's time to end the podcast. don't want to talk about the Falcons right now. I think we're way out of time, brother. Jeez, man. I never thought I would say in the near future the Buccaneers are better than the Falcons. I never thought I'd say that.
Yeah, I still right now the Bucs. If they can get rid of Winston, I'll be great. Like, just get rid of him. I'm done with him. I'm tired of him. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we don't even need to trade him. Just cut him at this point. We good. Like, I don't.
Anyway, you
feel my pain, though. You feel my pain.
Oh, easily.
Anyways, I definitely want to thank you, man, for being on. And for you guys that have been listening, man, you probably listen to the podcast. You're like, man, that guy Shelton is weird. You're absolutely right. Probably listen to the podcast and like, yeah, he definitely is a preacher's kid, pulling out those Bible verses at the end. You're absolutely right as well. It's another installment of the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. Thank you for listening.